just our grinding through camp period now. You know, we need to just keep stringing together good practices, good days, consistent improvement, and there's really no shortcut to it. This is where, you know, we build our fundamentals, where our team comes together from a chemistry standpoint, also from a, you know, communication standpoint, and there's just no shortcut to it. We just got to grind away here day after day, and so that's where we're at today. That's what we'll be tomorrow. That's where we'll be out here for a while.
What do you learn about each individual's mental toughness as they kind of progress through this?
Yeah, well, I think everybody, you know, it's something that's necessary for all of us, players, coaches. You just got to, you know, be able to grind through it, because that's the way it is going. That's the way it's going to be during the season. And look, I mean, we've all done it before, and you know, players have all. This isn't the first time they've ever played or been through a training camp, but it's, you know, just a process that I think is necessary to, you know, to get you ready for the long haul. And so, you know, each of us has to find a way to do it, be productive, and again, continue to improve and get better at what we're doing. And that's, you know, that's our goal every day. So, you know, we talk about that. We set different targets. There's different emphasis points, things that we work on. Eventually, here towards the end of the week, we'll start pulling more things together, more of like game-type situations. Right now, a lot of things are a little bit segmented, third down, red area, short yardage, special teams phases, so forth. And then, you know, we shuffle those around from day to day. But at some point down the road then, and it all comes together. But it's just, you know, I mean, we all got to do it. It's not any one person or one experience level of guy or anything else. It's all of us connected with the team.
Bill, what are your thoughts on James Devlin as he enters his second full season with you guys and how he's progressing?
Well, actually, it'll be his third season with us, but not on the roster. He had the 12th season on the practice squad. You know, real consistent guy, strong, physical player, tough, very smart, very dependable. Does a lot of things well. He's a versatile player that can step in and do a lot of different things for us. And it's valuable to have a dependable player who's consistent like that, who's versatile. You know, you can count on. I mean, you know, we all know that's, you know, the type of guy he is, and that's the role he is. He's not a, you know, game breaking type of, you know, that's not really his role. But, you know, the plays, like the play he had in Houston last year, you know, breaking four tackles to get into the end zone from the 1 yard line. I mean, those kind of plays sometimes say as much as an 80 yard touchdown.
How much would you say he's grown from, I guess, that you mentioned the practice squad days to now? And I know last year he really impressed you with his work ethic and stuff like that.
I mean, he gets better all the time. You know, he works very hard. Again, very strong in the weight room. You know, he has good playing strength, good durability, good toughness. And he's just gotten better every week, every year. And he's got more versatility and better execution, more versatility, more confidence this year than he had last year. Last year he had more than the year before. But he's a very, you know, solid player who's, you know, it's a little bit like a relief pitcher. You know, he has a role, but sometimes you don't know when that role is going to occur. I mean, we don't know when we're going to be on the goal line, or we might play in a game and not be on the goal line. That situation might not come up, or different plays like that. So, you know, he's just always got to be ready. But I think that's the thing, the impressive thing about James is he is. And if you need him for 20 plays, he's ready. If you need him for 3 plays, you know, that game, he's ready. If you need him to go in and play on the punt team, he did a good job for that when he was called on. So, again, that's a valuable type of guy to have, and you don't really sometimes know exactly when you're going to need him, but you know you're going to need him.
Coach, with Ty Law going into the Patriot Hall of Fame Friday, can you speak to what made him such a special player, and do you see any similarities, and what are they with Darrell Revis, since they grew up in the same area?
Yeah, both Aliquippa players. Well, I think, you know, Ty, I coached Ty in 96 as the secondary coach, and then, of course, as head coach when I came back. You know, Ty has very good physical size. I mean, he's a big corner. He's a physical corner. He's got good playing strength. He's tough. He's a good tackler, and he has very good instincts and ball skills. And Ty's the type of player that the quarterbacks found out in playing against him one way or the other. that you might get him once on something, but you better be careful that second time. And that's kind of the way Ty played. He was aggressive, but he was calculated, and he knew when to when to be aggressive, when to take chances, and when maybe not to. And then when he pulled the trigger, he could pull it in and make a lot of big plays. He had excellent ball skills and anticipation, but a physical, tough player at that position, which you don't always see, but he certainly brought that to us throughout his career and later on when he played safety toward the end of his career. Fun player to coach. He had a personality, and he didn't always do things exactly by the book or quite the way that maybe it was outlined, but he was a football player. And when the game started, he played football, and he was very good.
Bill, in relation to a guy like James Devoner yesterday, you talked about Ryan Wendell. For them to make an impression, they had to have an opportunity. And I heard Devin McCourty say the other day, this is a good place to be if you want to prove that you can play football because you'll get your chance. Have you always structured your practices, your training camps, to try to maximize or at least give everybody in camp as many reps as possible? And is there a coach or an experience to kind of shape that philosophy that it's important to get a good look at everybody?
Yeah, I think so. I think the key to it is, not so much how people get here, but what they do when they're here. And whether that's a draft choice or a trade or a free agent or whatever it is, we've had successful and unsuccessful examples in all those different categories. But, the past isn't necessarily a predictor of the future. The future is now. And, some guys have good years and then some guys have not so good years, and that may fluctuate from year to year. And I don't think there's any way to really predict that until you see it. So our philosophy has always been to put them out there, let them compete. And we can't control how the competition's going to go, nor do we want to. But, the best players are going to get more opportunity than the ones that don't perform as well. And that doesn't mean those guys are out of it, but until their performance changes, then the guys that are ahead of them are going to get more opportunity. And, we've had a number of examples of guys that weren't drafted or guys that weren't on the radar come in and play football for us and make big contributions, and, the Steve Neals of the world. And we've had guys line up in some of our biggest games that were, either long shots or not even on the roster, but ended up, playing in championship games, making plays for us in championship games, things like that. So it's an open competitive situation, and it's not as much about what you've done as it is what you can do for this team this year. And so that's kind of our philosophy.
No, go ahead. Do you want to follow up?
Yeah, I guess I heard Sean Payton, too, say that it's different now because you don't get your free agents, your rookies, in spring in pads. Mm-hmm. So it's harder to judge sometimes that, you run the risk of losing a rookie free agent, for example, because you don't really get a good chance to evaluate them in pads. Does that add to the importance of this time in training camp, now that those guys are out there in pads, the rookie free agents, and the guys are coming in here for the first time?
I think that's pretty much the way it's always been. I can't remember being able to pad up in spring practices, but certainly with the limited number of practices that we have now, relative to, I think, as I said, in the 80s when I was with the Giants, we were, in the 50s number of practices before the first game. Now we're at half that, maybe a little less. So, if a player with no experience isn't able to participate and misses, 2 weeks, 5, 6, 6, 8, 10 practices, whatever it is, I mean, that's like missing half a training camp, and it's a lot of ground to make up. So there's definitely a premium for durability. There's definitely a premium for taking advantage of the opportunity by being out there. And as we all know, and we talk to the players all the time, they understand it better than anybody. You can't get better if you're not on the field. I mean, how can you improve really by standing there and watching? I mean, you can learn and you can hear it, but you're not doing it. And as a football player, you need to do it with your teammates. So that's, that's an important element to it. At the same time, you can't let, as a coach, sometimes you can't let 1 week of the frustration of not being able to see a player, affect the year or even a career. You still have to do what's best for your team, try to make the right decisions. A lot of times it's on partial information, and of course the less information you have, probably the more chance that you'll make a mistake. But sometimes there's a guesstimate that definitely that goes with that, that you have to live with those decisions. It's based on partial information, but you know, you got to make them one way or the other.
Bill, a year ago you brought in a lot of new faces, personnel into the receiving corps, and I guess there was a process where both Tom and the receivers had to get acclimated with each other. It seemed like, you know, training camp was a perfect opportunity for that as well. But in that period, it seemed like you had players emerge, a guy like Kimbrell Tompkins. I mean, how has he grown through that process? And now do you see him a little bit more comfortable having become acclimated to Tom and what he's looking for?
Oh, sure. Well, Kimbrell, I mean, all of those guys, all our second-year players, Kimbrell is a lot better football player than he was a year ago. And he came in and he had a real good camp last year, and he impressed us even starting back in the spring. You know, he earned that, you know, starting position because of his good play and his consistency. But this year he's way past that, and experience has a lot to do with it, and his off-season work also has a lot to do with it. He knows what to expect. He has a much better understanding, so he can play with more confidence, more aggressiveness, just generally play faster because of, you know, the knowledge of our offense and the expectations and the experience that he's gained. So he's having another good camp this year. He's off to a good start, and but way considerably ahead of last year, as he should be, you know, as all second-year players should be.
I was wondering what attracted you to Dearden's coming, and what have you seen from him in camp thus far?
Well, I mean, we had good grades and had a good feeling for Fleming coming out of Notre Dame. He's a, you know, outside linebacker, end of the line type of player, outside linebacker, defensive end, whatever you want to call it, but an end of the line type of player, but also has shown the versatility to play some inside as a linebacker. And he runs well, he's strong, he's physical, and he's shown up in the kicking game. So the combination of his athleticism, intelligence, versatility, toughness, I mean, all those things made him a good player at college, and he just didn't have an opportunity, really, because of the injuries at San Francisco. But I don't think that takes away from what he was able to do. We had opportunity to work with him, and he's done a good job. He's taken advantage of it, and he's gotten better, and he's shown some versatility in those different areas. So those are all positives for him.
When you have two end-of-the-line guys, defensive end types, like Chandler and Rob, how much of their success is rooted in their ability to play together as good complementary parts? And how important is that in the overall development of your defensive front?
There's certainly an element to it. Yeah, I'm not sure what value to put on it, but there's definitely some. I mean, the one thing about the end of the line players, whether they're corners or outside linebackers or offensive tackles or you know, whoever's out there on the end, it's hard when you have an imbalance. It's just hard when you have an imbalance because everything ends up going, you know, one way, either defensively, usually to the weaker side, or offensively away from the weaker side, and then, you know, you've created a strong tendency there. So it's good to have balance at those perimeter positions, corner, outside linebacker, offensive tackle, you know, however you want to look at it, so that there's not an obvious, you know, imbalance to your opponent. I found that out at the Giants when we had Lawrence Taylor, that once he established himself pretty early in his career, what type of impact he had, you know, things started to tilt away from Lawrence, or to him in terms of protection, however you want to look at it. And then when we picked up Banks, then that really, you know, there was now a much more of an equilibrium there. And, okay, you're going away from Taylor, but now you're going into Banks. You're going away from Banks. You're going into Taylor. It wasn't, you know, as attractive to be one-sided. So I think, you know, for Rob and Chandler, there's definitely an element of them complementing each other and kind of knowing where the other guys are, especially in pass rush, so we don't end up with, you know, both guys up or both guys under, that there's some type of, you know, balance and you know, being able to play off each other at that position. But from an assignment standpoint and all that, there isn't too much that they do that's really related there. It's much more related to their adjacent players.
For a young player like Daron Harmon trying to learn how to be a communicator on defense, what skills make a great communicator, and how can a young player learn those skills?
Well, I think communication starts with, number one, knowing what to do, and number two, being decisive, and doing it with confidence. Even doing the wrong thing can be okay, as long as we're all wrong together. You know, if we're all wrong together, we can still be right. The problem is when half of us are doing one thing and half of us are doing something else, then it's almost impossible for that to ever work well. So, being decisive, and when I say that, I mean, for example, say we have, you know, two or three different ways we could play a 3-on-2 combination or a 4-on-3 combination, and we have to identify which one of those we're playing. Well, we might go into the game and say, well, we want to use, in this situation, option B, but the situation comes up and we call option C. But we can still play that. Maybe that's not the ideal thing we want to do, but at least if we're all playing it, we know what we're doing, we can play it, and, you know, it still has, you know, it can still probably be all right if we play it properly. But if we're in between B and C, oh, I thought it was B, I thought it was C, then it doesn't matter. It's not going to work. And so knowing what to do and being able to anticipate what's going to happen and then doing it decisively with confidence, you know, because the worst thing for a player, too, is to hear a call and kind of then have in the back of his mind, was that the right thing? Is that really what we want to do? Is it going to get changed? You know, once the person makes it, then is somebody else going to say, or is that person going to say, oh, no, wait a minute, we don't, you know, and then you're in no man's land. So, but Daron's a sharp kid, and he works very hard. He's a good football player. He's got good instincts. He was obviously well-coached in college. He has a good fundamental background and a good communication background. The defenses that they played in college, that he and Logan and Steve and, you know, all the rest of them, there was quite a bit of communication involved. There was quite a bit of recognition involved. And so that's something that we saw him do in college. Steve as well. Logan, you know, all of them, Devin, that we saw him do that, and that really hasn't been a problem, you know, for any of those guys, to tell you the truth. I mean, it's a different system, it's different words, but the concepts and the principles are there, and they're familiar with those type of things. They're good at it. They're used to making calls, and they can make them decisively. So.
Thanks, everyone.
All right. Thank you.
Quick announcement, the Revs have a game today, so if you're here past, well, they'll be setting up.